We often treat silence like it's an enemy. We're almost afraid that if we pause, if we slow down long enough to listen to the voice of God, he might tell us something we don't want to hear. And maybe that's why we don't listen as much as we should. There is a great verse in the Old Testament where God speaking through the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." There are so many in the world that think they're in control. In many ways, they behave like they are gods themselves. But there is only one true God, only one true King. And if he says to us, "Be still," we should be still. I would suggest that every day we need to spend some time just in the presence of God. Maybe we'll take a few moments, but to actually set aside quality time, that's what we need. In the poem that Paul read, he said he didn't even have his Bible with him. And there are times when we should just come before God with open hands and ready heart. And there are other times when the word of God will guide us. Each of us are different. God loves us all. And each of us, our bodies, are God's temple. We are meant to live a life that glorifies him. Do we? Do we glorify him only when we feel like it? Or do we bring glory to him regardless of the circumstance or situation that we find ourselves in? We're human. We know what we should do, but we also know what we really do do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love towards each and every one of us. As I bring the words that have been prepared this evening, I pray that it's you that will speak, dear Lord. Make me your mouthpiece, and may the words that are spoken not just travel to our ears, but travel to our hearts. Change us and transform us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today I want us to consider a powerful passage from the Apostle Paul, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. These are verses that remind us of a profound truth. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. There was a time in history where the temple was the place where the priest went. Normal people like you and I were not allowed inside. And it was a place that was so holy that even on the few occasions a year when a priest was allowed in, he would have a rope tied around his waist in case when he encountered the presence of the Lord, he would just drop dead. And then other priests that were there would have to drag him out by a rope. We live in a very different time, a different dispensation.
Thank God.
Thank God. I mean, I'm sure there's times when you'd like to tie a rope around me and drag me off, but...
Never.
Now, the Holy of Holies dwells within us.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Someone said earlier in the service about making... that God would make us a vessel. I worry at times that I am more Titanic than temple. You think everything's great. You think everything's fine, but there's actually this whacking great big iceberg waiting to tear a chunk out. Yet God is the one who's in control. And if he says that we are his temple, he doesn't lie. So when we look at a verse like this, we have to read it for what it is, because this is a truth. Don't you realise that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honour God with your body. I would also say that we must honour God with our mind and our heart. It's not just what we do, it's what we think as well that's important. The scripture calls us to consider how we view ourselves, to how we use our bodies, our minds, our hearts for him. We have a call to holiness. We have a call to stewardship. We do not belong to ourselves anymore. Christ paid the ransom for our sin. We, in many ways, were slaves to sin. But now, we're meant to be slaves to Christ. Servants of the living God. Servants of our Saviour and our King. We are meant to glorify God in every aspect of our life. From the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. He is the one that is worthy of our worship, our praise and our adoration. So how do we do it? First of all, we have to understand our identity in Christ. Paul begins by asking, don't you realise that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? This is a question that should really challenge us to reflect on our identity in Christ. When we accepted Jesus as Saviour, something miraculous happened in our lives. We were brought from darkness to light, and we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He took up residence. He dwells within us. It's an incredible thought. I remember when I was first a Christian and this concept, this theology was explained to me. I got really worried because I thought if the Holy Spirit is within me, then everything I see, everything I look at, God is watching. It made me seriously think about the kind of things that I watched, read, listened to. I know there's someone amongst us who hates television. Probably be happy if it had never been invented.
Amen.
In my opinion, there is some things that are useful, some things that are intelligent, some things that actually help us to grow, develop, understand the world that appear on television. There are other things that I do wonder, why? Mm. Why? Mm. I mean, I know some of you probably enjoy soap operas. Some of you. My opinion of soap operas is life is difficult enough. Yeah. Why would I want to watch someone else going through pain?
Yes. Yes.
And comedy? There's some so-called comedy out there that is nothing more than degrading the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
We were watching something the other night, and within the first 30 seconds, Jesus was used as a swear word. When that happens, we switch the program off. Doesn't matter how far through the season it is, how much we've watched it, how much we've enjoyed other episodes, it goes off. I have never in my life ever seen any comedian or actor at the height of their anger or disbelief say, "Oh Buddha," "Oh Muhammad." And we've worked out the reason why they use Jesus as a swear word is because Jesus is truth.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
They cannot attack what is a lie, so they attack the truth.
Yeah.
And we, as believers, we are meant to be discerning in what we watch, in what we listen to. I remember years ago, gosh, I sound old now. I am old. When they started putting explicit lyric labels on records to actually warn people. Now, those labels don't exist on songs that really should be classed as explicit. The world does not worship God.
That's right.
But we're meant to. Our bodies, our minds, our hearts are meant to worship the living God. For the Jews, the temple was in Jerusalem. That was what they thought was the physical location of God's presence. Now God dwells wherever there is a believer, within a believer. We're not some dusty building somewhere. We are living children of the living God. In the new covenant, through the sacrifice of Jesus, God's Spirit resides within each and every believer. We carry the presence of the Lord. The ground on which we stand is holy because God is here. When we go somewhere, when we visit someone, we are taking the presence of the Lord with us. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of what he has done, The Greek word that's used here for temple is naos. It refers specifically to the inner sanctuary of the temple. It's referring to the holiest part of the temple, the Holy of Holies. We're not just any temple. We are the sacred dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Does that make you feel like you've been given a difficult job to carry out? God has entrusted his Spirit to us. We're meant to be changed. We're meant to be transformed. We're meant to be different to how we were before we encountered God for the first time, before we repented. We're meant to be different now. We are the sacred dwelling place of God. I'm pausing so you can take an opportunity to actually let that sink in. Because we need to grasp what that means. The holy sanctuary in which God's Spirit dwells. Friends, that should change how we live our lives. It should change what we do. It should change what we watch, what we listen to, what we say. I mean, all of us at some stage or another, we can cause offence to a brother or sister in the Lord. All of us can say things or do things that fall short of the mark. And the Apostle Paul is clear that all of us fall short of God's standard. But that shouldn't stop us trying. We are not our own. We belong to God. And every action, every decision should reflect something of his holiness. Because he says to us, be holy because I am holy. But we don't like that, do we? Whether it's about how we care for our physical being, or whether it's how we care for our mind, or how we work out our faith on a daily basis. If we're honest, we haven't surrendered control the way in which we should. We know the word says it. We know that the preachers have told us. We know that God expects it. But somehow that's a problem for tomorrow. Using our talents, using our time, using everything should be done to the honour and glory of the Lord. To honour the one who dwells within us. Consider Romans. Romans 12 verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. We worship God in many ways, not just through songs and prayers, but through the way in which we live, through the way in which we use our bodies on a daily basis, the way that we use our lips, our thoughts, our actions. All of those are part of our expression of how much we love God. Can I pick on you because you're in the front? You don't need to go anywhere. I just want you to imagine that you have been entrusted with caring for a priceless artifact. Not the crown jewels, but a vintage cello. Now, how careful would you be with that?
Extremely.
Extremely.
Make sure it goes in the case.
Yeah.
Make sure the bow is put away carefully.
Yep.
And it's carried and stored in an even temperature so it doesn't warp.
Okay.
Will that do?
That will do.
It's a good job you're looking
to Paul. I know what Paul would do with a fine musical instrument. Paul, imagine you were entrusted with the keys to a brand new, top of the range Land Rover. Would you care for it?
In truth?
Yes.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But I should.
But you should. Okay. All of us can receive gifts from God. All of us have different gifts. And the gifts that God gives us are for the edifying of him and his church. And whatever he gives to us, we are meant to care for it. It's been entrusted to us. So how much more should we be careful of what we do with our body, when we're told it is the spiritual home of the Holy Spirit? the very house of God. It was John Piper who once said, God created us to live with a single, all-embracing, all-transforming passion, namely a passion to glorify God by enjoying and displaying his excellence in all spheres of life. His supreme excellence in all spheres of life. Our identity in Christ compels us to live our lives with passion. It compels us to actually live lives that serve others. It compels us to actually honour God in every moment of our lives. Second point, the high cost of redemption. Living the way that God calls us to is costly. It means we have to sacrifice certain things, ignore certain things, stay away from certain things. And as Paul reminds us, you do not belong to yourselves, for God bought you with a high price. And just to avoid any confusion, the price that God bought us with was the blood of his Son, his only begotten Son. There is nothing more precious in this world or the next than the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that washes us, that cleanses us, that sets us free. The only sacrifice that was worthy to pay for our redemption. This statement is the very heart of the gospel, the cost of our redemption. The high price is not something that we could have ever paid ourselves. It's not something we could have earned. It's not something we could have worked towards. I often say that we are a work in progress, but we would never have been able to complete the work that Christ did. Never. In the ancient world, the concept of being bought or redeemed was often associated with slavery. A slave could be redeemed or bought by someone paying the price for their freedom. And we were slaves to sin, but Jesus paid the ultimate price to set us free. To break our chains, to enable us to walk from darkness into his marvellous light. Yet I know so many over the years have almost put those chains back on. They've gone back into a form of bondage by trying to live based on the old law, based on their works, based on their actions, not based on what Christ has already done for them. Friends, we have a freedom. We have been set free, and we need to choose what to do out of that freedom. Right. Not put ourselves back into bondage. Not put ourselves back into situations where we are willingly sinning against God's will, against God's plan, against his purpose. We were slaves to sin, but Jesus paid the ultimate price to set us free. The Greek word here for bought is agorazo. It means to purchase in like a marketplace. It's a word that's used to remind us that Jesus has paid a price for us. He's paid our ransom. He's given his life that we might have life. Friends, knowing the cost of our redemption, it should fill us with a sense of gratitude, but it should also fill us with a sense of responsibility. We are no longer our own. We belong to Jesus. That should influence every part of our lives, from our relationships to our choices to how we serve others. We are not our own anymore. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 reminds us of this. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. This should inspire us. This should drive us. Our debts have been paid in full. Our sin debt has been paid in full. God has set us free. And out of love, we should be willing to honour and serve him. I will focus on you, because I know I can do this. You have a student loan, don't you? For your undergrad. You have got a student loan for your undergrad. If someone paid off your student loan, not by giving you money or giving money to the government, but by sacrificing their life, what would you think? way too excessive. So the Son of God gives his life for our sin. Is that excessive? It's not excessive. It was the only possible payment, the only way that we could be saved. Because our debt was not a financial debt. Our debt was not something that we could have eventually got out of. We were broken and we were damaged because of sin. And God says, to restore your relationship with me, I will die in your place. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? Our lives need to be a reflection of the gratitude that we have that he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. And not just what we'd done, because he knew that we would stumble, that we would fall, that there would be times in our lives when we would again sin or break his will. And yet he died for all of our sins, past, present and future. And his sacrifice was enough. Charles Spurgeon said this, "I have a great need for Christ and I have a great Christ for my need." Our Saviour, our Lord, the price that he paid for us reveals the greatness of our need and the greatness of him as our Saviour. Third point, honouring God with our bodies. This is the final exhortation that Paul gives. It's a call to action. So you must honour God with your body. Now, honouring God means living in a way that reflects his holiness. It's not just limited to avoiding sinful actions. It's about actively pursuing righteousness. The word honour here comes from the Greek doxazio, which means to glorify or to give glory. Our lives are meant to be a continuous act of worship. Our lives are meant to continually glorify God in everything that we do. Everything that we do. In the way that we drive our cars and treat other road users. In the way that we put our bins out for the bin men to collect. In the way in which we go into a shop and when someone serves us, we say thank you. All of these may seem small and trivial, but absolutely everything we do reflects the love of God, reflects the mercy of God. If we are positively pursuing righteousness in our lives, then we will glorify God in the simple things as well as the big things in our life. We need to be intentional how we live. We need to be intentional how we serve. We need to be intentional about how we pray. We need to be intentional about how we read the Word of God, how we listen to preaching, how we listen to Christian music. We need to be intentional. And of course, you know, it's the natural thing about our bodies is we need to think about what we eat, how we exercise, what we allow our eyes to see, and what we speak from our lips. All of that is part and parcel of honouring God with our bodies. And if we're to honour God with our bodies, one of the ways in which we're meant to do that is by serving others. We're meant to carry out God's will on earth. We're meant to proclaim the truth of the gospel. We're meant to tell others about Jesus. And we're meant to avoid falling into sin. Romans 6:13 says this, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." Everything to reflect the glory of God. Everything we do, everything we say, everything that is part of our daily lives should be directed to reflecting God's character to the people that we meet. Let's think of a musical instrument again. When a musical instrument is in the hands of a skilled musician, it can produce beautiful music. And yet, a piano in the hands of Les Dawson, if you remember the old comedy sketches, It produced a sound, but it wasn't necessarily harmonious. Yes, I'm sure he practiced for hours to play badly. I know musicians who practice for hours and play badly. That's life. I'm not saying it's you. But just as a musician practices, we are meant to practice. Our bodies, when yielded to God, they can produce a life that's a beautiful testimony of grace. A harmonious sound. Rick Warren said, "You were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense." It's true. You know, there are people wandering around this world today that think they know what's going on. There are these so-called influencers that seem to know exactly what you or I should be doing with our lives. My suggestion would be the exact opposite of whatever they say that you should be doing. I've been old recently, actually. I've been watching some videos on YouTube about Christians talking to the woke community and actually calling them out on some of the nonsense that they believe. And it is nonsense. And when they're faced with logical, structured arguments from Christians based on a biblical worldview, I've seen woke people just scream at the Christians. Literally scream. Not expressing any words, just standing there, opening their lungs and going, "Ah!" Because they've got nothing to say. I wonder if the roles were reversed and someone of the world came to ask you, "Why do you believe that God is real? Why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you believe that you're forgiven?" Would you be able to give an answer, or would you just scream at them? Friends, we need to understand who God is. We need to understand what God has done. We need to understand what God expects us to do. Works will never save us, but as James says, faith without works is dead. If we don't follow the great commission of Jesus, though many of us treat it as the great suggestion, to actually go and tell others the truth of the gospel, we're not honouring God. We need to understand our purpose in life so that we can honour God. As I draw to a close, take time this week to reflect on 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Consider your identity as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about the high cost of your redemption and the call to honour God with your body. This call from the Apostle Paul is not a passive suggestion. It's a passionate plea from his heart to your heart and mine. It's an urging of us to live lives that glorify God. So let this message inspire you. Take a deeper look at how you're living. Take a deeper look at the areas of your life that perhaps you need to surrender to God. And honour God with your thoughts, with your actions, and with your decisions. This week, I challenge each and every one of us to consciously make choices that reflect our identity in Christ. Now, that may mean that if someone says something to you that the world thinks is funny, that you don't laugh. It may be that if someone says something to you that is dishonouring to God, that you respond how much God means to you. Whatever it is that the devil places in your way this week, push him aside and honour God. Honour God in how you spend your time. Honour God in everything that you do, and God will have the glory and the praise that he deserves. Amen. Your body, it's God's temple. So live a life that glorifies him. Amen.
Amen.